I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 24. And just to set the context here in Exodus 20, there was the proclamation of the Ten Commandments of Mount Sinai to the Israelites who were camped at the foot of the mountain. And that was followed by a number of laws that the Lord gave to Moses and Moses to the people. And now in chapter 24, after God has proclaimed his covenant law, we find what is often called a confirmation of the covenant. Today's sermon, we will especially focus on the covenant meal in verses 9 through 11, but we will read the entire chapter. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. Moses alone shall come near to the Lord, but the others shall not come near, and the people shall not come up with him." Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandments, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of the Lord, and may the Lord bless us as we consider his teaching here. Amen. So let me reread the three verses that will be the focus of the sermon, verse 9 through 11. Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. Congregation of our Lord Jesus, good food and good friends, a wonderful combination. In all cultures of the world, eating together is an important activity. Sharing food is a central social event. It's the high point of hospitality. It's a celebration of friendship. Even in our culture of individualism and fast food, we still value this idea, don't we, of a common meal. Young people go on a date and they eat together. Old friends get together and grill burgers or share a dessert. At the heart of Thanksgiving and Christmas celebration is often a big family dinner. But now imagine that we get to eat dinner with the Lord of heaven and earth, an intimate dinner with God himself. How special that would be. And what a wonderful message it would communicate. There's a deep alliance between God, our mighty host, and us, his guests and friends. But that's what happens here in Exodus 24. This is arguably the most important meal in all of the Old Testament. We see the elders of Israel here eating with God on the mountain. And as we study this event, we do not remain at a distance, because as Christians, we have a similar privilege when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. In this sermon, I want to consider what happened long ago on Mount Sinai in order to also shine light on our communion celebration today. So we will consider this passage under the theme, Dining with the Lord. We will first see that this is a covenant ceremony, second, a celebration meal, and third, continued fellowship. It doesn't quite alliterate, but on paper it does. Three C's: covenant ceremony, celebration meal, and continued fellowship. The elders of Israel ate with the Lord, with Yahweh. That was a one-time affair, but at the same time, it was a defining moment in the relationship between the Lord and Israel going forward. And to see this, consider the broader context. This is the context of covenant making. Now, in the Bible, a covenant is an official relationship, usually between a ruler and his subjects. The ruler promises to take care of the people and to present the law, or he presents his law, and then in return, the people pledge allegiance to this ruler and promise to follow his lead. Now, such a solemn mutual pledge existed between the Lord and the people whom he had led out of Egypt. The heart of this gracious covenant was announced at the beginning of chapter 20, those well-known words, I am the Lord your God, I brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I am the Lord your God, and the Israelites were to be his people. And what that means is spelled out first in summary in the Ten Commandments, and then in more detail in the instructions of Exodus 21 through 23. And then in our chapter, we read that Moses records this law in a book. It's called the Book of the Covenant. And then he reads that book to the people. And on their part, God's people respond to what the Lord had said. They bind themselves to the Lord and his covenant when they say, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. These solemn declarations of God and his people to each other are similar in a way to wedding vows. From this time onward, the Lord and his people are linked to each other in a bond of mutual love and care. The Lord will always protect and prosper his people, and they will always follow him and obey him. That is the meaning of this covenant of grace. When the Lord and the people of Israel entered into this covenant, they did not only speak these words of covenant making. There were also physical activities, physical rituals. As was customary, a monument was built, an altar in the center pointing upward to the Lord, and then 12 stones around it representing the Israelite community. There was also a ritual of blood. Animals were sacrificed and the blood collected. Half of the blood was splashed against the altar. Half of the blood was splashed on the people. And this symbolized, this symbolically established the bond of blood between God and his people. The killing of the animals and the ritual of blood emphasized that this covenant was a matter of life and death. Behold the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you. On a side note, at Ebenezer Church, I've been preaching through Hebrews, and there that particular verse is quoted, behold the covenant that the Lord has made with you. And there the point is made that by the work of Jesus Christ, we have been sprinkled with the blood, and therefore we now have free access to the Lord to come in confidently in faith to receive all his blessings. And then finally, the covenant was sealed with a meal to express this newly forged covenant fellowship. And that's not unlike the dinners that we organize after a wedding ceremony. After the deal is done, it is time for celebration on a very personal way. The Israelites certainly had much to celebrate. Not only had God set them free from a life of slavery, or rather even from a genocide that was about to happen, the Lord had set them free, but in the most profound way possible, he also had committed himself to love them always, to protect them from all evil, and to guide them through the wilderness to a most prosperous land. Much to celebrate. Now, before we look in more detail at this meal, I want to draw a clear line from this old history to our situation today. Let's spell it out a little more, the connection that we already hinted at. First of all, this covenant with Israel, it was real, but it aimed at an even greater event, and that was, of course, the coming of the Messiah, the Savior, who would bring the blessing of the covenant to the whole earth, not just to that community. Jesus Christ stands at the end of this Israelite community to whom God committed himself. And if we call ourselves Christians, if we think of ourselves as those who are in Jesus Christ, we must recognize these people at Mount Sinai as our spiritual ancestors. The covenant made that day still applies to us today, to us too. The Lord speaks, I am your God, and you will be my people. And we too commit ourselves, all that the Lord commands us, we will do. I hope that when you meet together here on the Lord's Day, there is that sense too, not only to hear the Lord speak, but we also come, and in our praise and in our worship, we recommit ourselves to do all that the Lord tells us to do. We too belong to this covenant of grace through Jesus Christ. And then secondly, Jesus Christ brought this covenant to its greater and more glorious form. We are not merely delivered from Egypt, we are delivered from the power of sin and evil. We do not merely receive a law of do's and don'ts, but we have heard Jesus speak the constitution of his heavenly kingdom. Blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the poor, blessed are those who hunger for righteousness. On God's behalf, Jesus called his followers his friends, and we respond in faith with our confession, you are the Son of the living God. And most precious of all, the old covenant of grace has become the new covenant through a greater sacrifice, through a greater bond of blood. The Lord Jesus himself, as the greatest sacrificial lamb, sealed the eternal bond between God and man with his own blood. And we see that symbolized today, and we'll see it shortly, when we join at the Lord's table. This is my body that was broken for you, points to that sacrifice, a sacrifice made to cement the relationship between God and us. This is the new covenant in my blood. This will be a ceremony of blood, you know, sealing the covenants again and again. And as we take, as it were, the flesh and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ into our bodies, and it becomes one with us, and we become one with it, we are reminded that in him, we are united to our Lord and God. And so it happened, 70 elders sat around the table on Mount Sinai. That number 70 symbolized the family of Jacob that had come from Egypt. It symbolized the entirety of the community in their eldership. Aaron and his two eldest sons were there too. Their job as priests was to represent the Israelites in a special way. So when the Lord told them all to come up the mountain, he essentially invited the entire nation to spend time with him. Now, Mount Sinai is just a rocky mountain in the desert. And we don't even quite know which of the potential Mount Sinais this was. The place is not important, but at that time, Mount Sinai was the gate to heaven. God's glorious presence was visible on the top, sometimes as a thick cloud, sometimes as a fire. And when the 70 elders climb into that holy presence, it is nothing less than entering heaven itself, entering the dwelling place of God. And that's especially clear from the description in verse 10. Have you ever wondered what this floor of sapphire stone does? What does sapphire even look like? Well, what is good to know, sapphire is blue. It's blue with gold specks, and here it talks about clear as glass. It has this gemstone quality to it, but it's blue. Blue like what? Blue like the sky. The sapphire stone surface represents the blue sky, which the Bible often describes as God's throne. We look up at it. God is above it. And so there they see the God of Israel. There they see the God of Israel. Have you thought about that? It just says that, right? They beheld God. They saw the God of Israel. Verse 10. Can you even see God? And can you see him and survive? Comparing our passage with other parts of the Bible, such as Ezekiel 1, it's probably best to understand the elders saw a form, a likeness representing the Lord, because the Lord is spirit. He doesn't have a natural physical shape. And what did he look like? We are not told anything about that. And I suspect that this vision was too glorious to look at, and all that they could report was the color of the pavement under their feet. They were in the very presence of God, and they survived. And that is a miracle. Verse 11 emphasizes it. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. Normally, human beings cannot survive the holy presence of God, but in his grace, because of his covenant promise, he allowed them to come close, to be as intimate with him as table guests in his home. And there they ate and they drank. And I can only imagine that God provided them with a most wonderful and lush banquet. When Jesus established the new covenant in his blood, he was having dinner with his 12 disciples. And just as the 70 elders represented the nation of Israel, the Old Testament people of God, the disciples represented the New Testament church that Christ had just established and that would grow. Jesus as the host shared food with his disciples in an intimate setting. He talked with them about his personal concerns. He talked about his love for them. And if you want to have a flavor of the dinner conversation there, read John 13 through 17. Jesus called them friends. I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. And there are some wonderful differences between the meal on Mount Sinai and that Passover dinner in the upper room in Jerusalem. And you may be inclined to say, well, this report in Exodus 24 on top of the mountain, that clearly was a miracle. And you may think of Jesus sitting there in the upper room and think, okay, yeah, so here's just the man who takes his friends upstairs. The greater glory is in the new. The disciples did not have to climb up to a mountain. They did not have to fear for the cloud of fire of holiness. They could follow their master up a simple staircase into a room on the earth. Because in Jesus Christ, God has come down to our level, into our world. Instead of one time inviting us up, he has come here. And while the Israelite elders saw a shiny, glorious form and probably had to avert their eyes to the blue pavement underneath, the disciples could look straight at Jesus Christ. The Son of God appeared in the form of a human being. He reclined next to them at a couch. He could be seen and touched. And John celebrates that in his first letter, right? What we have seen, what we have heard, what we've seen with our own eyes and touched with our own hands, the word of life. He ate and drank the same food. The heavenly dinner host had become like his guests. And that is a profound intimacy between God and man that goes way beyond what we read here in Exodus 24 yet. This is the deepest mystery of our faith. God is not only for us, but he is with us. He became one of us. And so today, as we celebrate communion in a way, we repeat this last meal of Jesus, and we do it because he told us to do this in remembrance of me, he had said. And while the Lord Jesus is no longer physically with us, he is truly present. We believe in the real presence of Christ as we celebrate this sacrament. He is with us by his word, the gracious teachings of kingdom love and hope. He is with us by his Spirit, who gives heavenly comfort and fills us with love for the Lord and for others. He is with us in his church, where we have the privilege of serving and helping each other in his name. He is with us as we lift up our hearts, and he, by his Spirit, takes us into his holy presence. This covenant ceremony on Mount Sinai in Exodus 24 was the beginning of a lasting relationship between God and his people. The meal with the 70 elders on the mountain was unique, but the gracious relationship continued from generation to generation. At the end of the meal, the Lord invited Moses to climb even higher on the mountain. And during the 40 days that Moses was there, he received instructions. That's where we stopped our reading. In chapter 24, Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. But what did the Lord tell Moses in those 40 days? What was he there for? Well, he received instructions for building the tabernacle. He learned how to construct a home for God in the wilderness. For the sake of fellowship, the Lord made a copy of his heavens to be placed on the earth, compacted down to a tent. His sapphire throne became a wooden box, although overlaid with gold. That was the ark. And in the tabernacle, there was also a table with 12 loaves of bread. And that symbolized the ongoing table fellowship of the Lord with his people. And as the Israelites traveled through the wilderness, they could always look at that tent. Priests would visit the tent regularly on behalf of the people. They would even eat bread there. And all these rituals proclaimed the same beautiful truth. The Lord is with us. He was with us on Mount Sinai, but he is still with us. He lives among us in a relationship of peace and blessing and divine love. It is in the same way and in a greater way at the same time that our Lord Jesus Christ, risen and glorified, continues to break bread with his people. He dwells here in his church. And I'm not talking about this rented building. That is the unimportant part of it. He dwells with you as his people. The church is the home where he invites and receives many guests. And as you share food at his table today, reflect on the beauty of being so close to the God of your life. Savor his loving presence. Worship him, not from afar, as the Lord told the Israelites in verse 1. Worship him not from afar, but from nearby, as the Spirit carries your prayers directly into his presence. And also consider this. Jesus continues to invite more people to his table. More invitations go out. We are called to extend the invitation to all around us. Because after all, gospel proclamation is an invitation for a fellowship with God. That's what the gospel is ultimately about. True, peaceful fellowship, unity even, with our Lord. Our duty to evangelize is a call, ultimately, to fellowship in his presence, to table fellowship. People don't have to scale a mountain. They don't have to enter a shining cloud to experience it. They don't have to send representatives into this holy place that was so holy that you would be killed if you tried to approach it on your own. Woe to us if we make people jump through hoops to join our fellowship. Rather, we must proclaim Jesus as the one who graciously laid down his life for the sins of the world, and all who call on his name, all who respond to his invitation in faith, must be welcomed at his table. And so may the Lord greatly increase the number of guests at his supper. Let us pray for that. And may we then see in the broken bread and the poured out wine the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and mercy. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts that you have not stayed far off, but have come close to us and entered into that covenant relationship with us. And even though that's a word that sounds a little foreign to us, maybe one of these Bible words, we pray, Lord, that you help us to understand this relationship of covenant as one of deepest love and fellowship with you. Lord, we thank you that even though we are sinners and cannot on our own stand or survive the holiness of you, the great God of heaven, that in spite of all that, you have invited us in your presence so close, so intimately, in Jesus Christ, your Son. And Lord, as we reflected on that this afternoon, drawing the lines from the Old Testament to the New, we pray, Lord, that you will then also draw the lines onward into our individual lives, that each of us in our own situation may understand what it means to have this fellowship with you. And we pray now, Lord, as we are about to celebrate the sacrament in remembrance of Christ, that you will give us that sense of nearness, of fellowship with you, that through him we may truly know that God is with us and that all is well. And so we pray, Lord, for your blessing as we gladly take that invitation to have a fellowship meal with you. We pray this all in the name of your glorious Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.